and we follow any particular spiritual path, one should very carefully understand the requirements of that path and fulfill them. Then one can attain all success. That's like sometimes the doctor gives a prescription that you take this much in the morning, this much in the afternoon, this much in the evening, and you mix it with honey and take it and all that. So any patient who very carefully fulfills those criteria also gets free from all sickness. In the same manner, for performing devotional service, whatever ingredients are prescribed in the Shastra, they have to be very carefully understood and accepted. And whatever is considered a thorn or an obstacle in the progress of devotional service, one should very carefully avoid them. So in the performance of bhakti or chanting or devotional service, one should not foolishly capture those things which are actually detrimental to the development of devotional service. Actually, development of devotional service is not in our hands. It is from the top. It is not our department. It is mercy department, as Prabhupada says. Development of devotional service within our heart is made possible by superior agents. But we are supposed to fulfill certain requirements from our side. Then the superior department will take notice. And then they will see to it that the bhakti is developed in our heart. So, in the performance of devotional service, many a times, we may capture those things which are actually not devotional service, which may even act as a big obstacle to devotional service, but we may falsely consider them to be devotional service. So Prabhupada gives an example. Just like when a person is falling from the top, he will be considered wise if he takes shelter of a neem tree instead of neem tree branch, instead of a sagu tree branch. A sagu tree, it breaks immediately. As soon as you catch a branch, you break it, it's brittle. It just breaks like this. As a neem tree branch, if you see, it bends but doesn't break easily. Even if you break it, it has got fibers, it doesn't come out. In the same way, one should know which one to take shelter and which one not to take shelter. One has to know which is the right shelter to take. Similarly, in devotional service, what is to be cherished and what is not to be cherished, what is to be appreciated, what is not to be appreciated, one should know. That is it. That's all explained very nicely in the scriptures, so that we may not fall in the trap of those things. So Kunti Maharani, in her prayer, speaks about this. She says that, my dear Lord, one may be a very qualified person in various respects, Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, Shri, and all these qualifications. One may have a high birth of a Brahmana, and one may be very opulent, very wealthy, and one may be very learned, and one may have bodily beauty. But she says, such personalities possessing these capabilities, they are unable to call out your name feelingly. So basically speaking, the path of devotional service means to be able to helplessly call out the Lord's name. In order to cry out Krishna's name, one has to feel dependent, helpless, and fallen. These are qualifications that should require for calling. You have to feel helpless, you have to feel fallen, and you have to feel dependent on Krishna. Like a child feeling dependence on the mother, that is an example which need not be explained. You can easily see how a child, when the child needs the mother, the child just can't do anything. A child who is passing stool, he is never going to be able to clean it himself or wash his body himself. He just calls for the mother. So there are many so-called foolish spiritualists who think themselves very qualified and mature. And such personalities think that the ultimate attainment is to come to a stage where we'll be undisturbed like the ocean. Of course, that is for the jnanis who think so. Many times they fall prey to their own senses and mind. But as far as a devotee is concerned, the spiritual world is filled with tears of love. It is said in Vrindavan, the gopis offer Krishna buttermilk mixed with the tears. That is considered the topmost preparation. So, in the spiritual world, such a kind of maturity or like deep ocean like attitude is not what is aspired for, at least in the path of devotion service. What is aspired by all the great advanced Vaishnavas is to attain a state where one feels these three things which I said. Helpless, fallen and dependent. In order to, if one has obtained this state of consciousness, that means he has achieved success. Just like in a 100-meter game, those few moments are very crucial. The marathon is run in a different way and 100 meters is run in a different way. If anybody knows athletics, in 100 meters you have to run very fast and you have to reach it. In marathon you have to run slow because you have to go 40 kilometers or something. So every game has a different kind of goal. So the goal is to reach the other point within a period of time. Similarly, in the path of bhakti, our goal is reached successfully if we have obtained that state of consciousness of feeling helpless, fallen and dependent on the Lord, and we are able to call His name fervently, then you are successful. And all other qualifications are kept aside. They are not of any consideration. Like, you know, you may say, I have this, I have that. Like in the train you go, you ask for the ticket. You may say, sir, I am educated boy. No, I have this degree from this college, you know. That's all right, where is the ticket? Sir, I also come from good family, you know, Brahmana family, you know. So till now, you know, in our family, we have never cheated anybody in love. That's all right, show me the ticket. Isn't it? All your other Balkans are not going to be taken seriously by TTT in the train. You show the ticket and then you go to the next person. Similarly, we cannot show any of our qualifications in front of Krishna in the place of devotional service and say that, Krishna, I have these qualifications with me, so you will have to give me bhakti. No. In fact, we can easily see Lord Chaitanya deliberately ignored these qualifications, or sometimes even condemned these qualifications. Like Janma, high birth, which Kunti is talking, Lord Chaitanya purposefully made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya, who was born in a Muslim family. So you can clearly see that. So Lord Chaitanya did not give any importance to birth. When he went to South India to Kaveri, he was embracing Ramananda Rai, Rai Ramana, who was born Shudra, and a governor of Madras, which means it's a post of a politician. Mahaprabhu did not see that this person is low-born. He embraced him. Similarly, with respect to opulence, Mahaprabhu did not appreciate people who are very wealthy. In fact, he condemned those who are wealthy. Even Pratapadra was rejected by the Lord because he was a king. But then when he went in the dress of mendicant, simple mendicant, Mahaprabhu accepted him. And all the great personalities whom Mahaprabhu appreciated were practically unknown to others. Shuklambar Brahmachari, Kolavitcha Shikari. People didn't even know who they are. Insignificant from the public eye. Not of any importance. They were not at all rich. They were not at all popular or prominent people. They were insignificant people that Mahaprabhu appreciated. They were not known for their wealth. And when it comes to learning, Mahaprabhu never gave any importance to scholarship. And as soon as Mahaprabhu would see scholarship, he would immediately understand that the scholarship is always tainted with false pride. Like Prakashana Saraswati was speaking that, you know, the scholar should read Vedanta. A sannyasi should read Vedanta instead of chanting and dancing like the sentimentalist. So So he was condemning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers for chanting and dancing. So Mahaprabhu always knew, as we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that scholarship is, one of the dangers of scholarship is that it always leads to false pride. So Mahaprabhu, instead of appreciating scholarship, rather he glorifies the Sautrasneha Ravana, who had no scholarship, who was reading the Bhagavad Gita with broken language, whatever way he could read. So Mahaprabhu appreciated the spirit of his devotion. What spirit he had, what kind of heart he had in approaching Krishna, rather than looking for any scholarship. There were many other scholars around him at that time, around this Brahmin. Mahaprabhu never even took note of them at all. And similarly, the bodily beauty. Mahaprabhu gave a great bodily beauty to Vasudev, the leper. All his leprosy was gone. Mahaprabhu embraced him. And he got a golden type of body. In fact, Vasudev, he cried. He asked Mahaprabhu, why did he give me this body? You have really given me this body, and in this way, now my conscience is spoiled, because I may be thinking, I've got a beautiful body. Now Lord Chaitanya has bestowed special mercy upon me. And saying this, everyone will talk about it, and I'll become very proud. Mahaprabhu smiled and said, you will never become proud. You always chant Hare Krishna and you will remain humble. But great devotees don't appreciate bodily beauty. They consider that to be an impediment in the devotional service. You can see that. And Mahaprabhu also didn't give any special importance to any bodily beauty of anyone. He only saw the heart of the living being. Just like Kubja sees the heart of Krishna, sees the devotional sentiments of Kubja and accepts her service without seeing the external ugly looking form of Kubja. So in this way, these qualities of Janma, Ashura, Shita, Shri, they can become very great impediments in our devotional service. As I was telling about having the ticket when we are approaching a Chiti, in the same way, we are supposed to feel helpless, fallen and dependent in our heart. But then, while we are trying to approach that consciousness, these kind of qualifications become stumbling blocks in the way. They come and just like in a running race, there are hurdles. Imagine a person is moving without any hurdles in a 100-meter race, and we are going with hurdles. Actually, it's difficult. Sometimes there are 3-4 hurdles, you see. You jump, 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 and then you go. So when you have to jump, sometimes first 2 hurdles you jump, third one you have no more stamina to jump. Similarly, these things can become big stumbling blocks. Many times we all aspire for such material qualifications. Some people do it. I wish I was an IITian, or I wish I had a foreign MS degree, or I wish I was wealthy, or I wish I had a beautiful body. Many times we wish so many things which are actually stumbling blocks for us. In remembering Krishna peacefully, those become very big stumbling blocks. But we wish those things, that is our foolishness. Because we don't know, these are not going to serve any purpose in achieving Krishna. Of course, if somebody, by will of providence, due to some past or past activities, is given a high birth, or is given a education, or bodily beauty, or anything of that sort, then one can doubt a little Krishna service. One may use it in Krishna service, one may do so. But to aspire for it is foolishness, because that is why we were saying, taking shelter of sadhu and taking shelter of me. What is artha? What is anartha? What is Krishna? What is Krishna itara? One has to clearly know what is to be captured, what is to be left out. It's like Annapakshi. Annapakshi takes the milk and leaves the water. Similarly, we have to capture the devotional essence and give up the false or foolish desires for such material qualifications. Because those material qualifications are not going to bring about any devotion in our heart. In order to bring this kind of devotional attitude in the heart, One has to find out those ingredients which help us to build this kind of consciousness in our heart. Then our chanting will be very powerful. We'll be able to really call out. We may mindlessly spend years chanting, not knowing what are the necessary ingredients for chanting. If you don't do the needful, just like for example, you want to write a competitive exam. You don't take help of any book. You don't take help of any friends. You don't take any guidance. If you just wait and expect that you will write a good exam, can you write? Nobody can crack exam unless you prepare nicely for that. Similarly, to be able to make that ultimate call, the fervent call to Krishna for help, one has to exactly know what are the ingredients that are to be added to that, to our heart, in order to bring about that call. Then one will be able to call out the name. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this example of the tree. The nature of the tree is when someone tries to cut down the tree, it does not protest. Even when water is not supplied and the tree is drying up, he doesn't complain. He just tolerates it. And while being cut down without protesting and while drying up without complaining, when this tree is somehow or other surviving, he still yields flowers, fruits, and all the facilities that a tree awards, the bark of a tree, honey, the gum, all those things are coming from a tree. At the same time, the tree also gives shelter to the person under the tree, who may later cut down the tree. Or sometimes you see a woodpecker sitting in the tree and making a nest and relaxing. But afterwards the same woodpecker keeps pecking the tree and makes a big hole in the tree. So Mahaprabhu told the example of this tree, that this tree very nicely portrays the nature of a Vaishnava, how tolerant a Vaishnava is. So this should be put in our highest pedestal. We may not be able to be tolerant like that now, but we have to aspire for this type of tolerance. Prabhupada gives in Bhagavad Gita an example of a cow. He says the cow is totally under the custody of the master. And the master may sometimes feed grass to the cow, other times if he is angry that the cow is not giving milk, he may beat her. But the cow is totally dependent on the master. And you can see, whenever the master feeds, the cow can eat. The cow is tied up to a pole. Whenever he gives her to eat, she eats. Other times she starves. So this is the way a pure devotee is dependent on Krishna, he says. So one has to actually bring about that state of consciousness of tolerance. It is said that tenderness of heart that we experience towards Krishna is called as bhakti. And the tenderness of heart that we experience towards all other jivas, that is called as daya or compassion. But between this daya and bhakti lies the humility. How the humility is achieved? When a devotee thinks, how can I punish others? I am myself so insignificant and I am myself so fallen. What qualification do I have to punish others? When one thinks like that, in that state of consciousness one feels humble. And one easily can get daya or compassion in that state of consciousness. When one is able to see one's disqualifications, one is able to observe one's insignificance, then one is able to feel compassion for others. And what is speak of feeling tolerance? Till one feels that others are tolerating me, where is the person of mine tolerating anyone? So the humility and tolerance are the most greatest virtues. When one systematically begins to study one's own faults, there is a very famous verse in the third canto of Kapila. He says, when does the soul attain the ultimate glory? He gives the answer to that. After many, many, many verses, towards the end, he gives this verse. You all can repeat this verse.
Bhukta bhoga parityakta.
दृष्ट दोषाच नित्यशः नेश्वरस्याशुभं दत्ते श्रीमन्नीतस्य च सी सेइंग दृष्ट दोषाच नित्यशः. As soon as the soul comes to a stage where he can clearly see his own faults, drishta dosha, he can clearly see his own faults. When he sees that, oh, I thought I am a great person, but I am not at all that great as I am imagining. I have so many faults within me. Then he loses interest to see faults in others. Earlier he was eager to find fault in others, but by causeless mercy, most greatest of all mercy, he comes to a stage where his attention is diverted from others towards oneself, and one finds that I have so many faults. My Lord, I never knew that I have so many. So begins to see them, and seeing one's own fault, the Lord over the material nature, what does a devotee do? Bhukta bhoga parityakta. Parityakta means to give up. He gives us the enjoying mentality. He says, bhukta bhoga. He gives us the enjoying mentality of trying to lord over material nature by seeing his own faults, that I have a tendency to lord. And then he says, Neshwarasya Ashubham Datte. Then he attains the most auspicious situation. Sve Mahimni Sthitasacha. Means he is placed in his ultimate glory in the spiritual world, such a person. He attains the ultimate glory. So, just like Mahaprabhu talks about himself, Nadanam Najanam, Ayunandatanaja Kinkaram, Patitam Maam Shami Bhavam Buddha. So he in all situations, occasions, we see Mahaprabhu declare his own insignificance and disqualifications. It's not just a tact. It's not just a trick that Mahaprabhu showed others. Like we may think Mahaprabhu showed humility to attract the heart of Prakashan and Saraswati. Or he showed humility to attract the heart of Sarva Bhattacharya. Is it a trick that he employed? No, it is not just a trick. That's how he feels. That's how Radharani feels actually. Whatever he spoke is his heart. Actually he felt. So, these qualifications which become impediments, first of all one should not aspire for them. That's what Kuddhimanana says. Because my dear Krishna, those who are not materially impoverished cannot fervently call out your name. They are very materially satisfied. Even all of us in our practical life, we, at least whether we tell outside or not is another thing. In the heart, when we see somebody highly qualified, we become attracted. Somebody has a big job in a company, high paying job, we become attracted. Somebody has a body of beauty, handsome, we become attracted. Somebody is a moneyed person, we become attracted. Sometimes a big man comes in a big car and gets out of the car and comes to darshan. People say, hey, it's big. Seems to be coming from a good family, they say. So good family means rich family. Many times. That's what generally devotees circle when people talk. Good family, they say. What is a good family? Just because somebody comes in a big, huge car and very rich, he doesn't become good. But we assume that he looks civilized, he looks good, like that. Because we have attraction for these anarthas. That is why, what is Krishna Atira, one has to be able to clearly distinguish what is valuable for Krishna's devotion, what is not valuable, what is to be captured, what is to be given up. It's very important. So, Bhagavatam is very clear in these things. Bhagavatam says, you do whatever you want. Ultimately, if it does not produce prati for Krishna, shamayevahi kevalam, it says. If all that you do does not awaken the Dharma Krishna consciousness in your heart, hell with all your qualifications. As I was telling about the TT train ticket. You may say, sir, if you want you can check, you know, see, I have a laptop computer, I can speak good English, I come from good family, I come from a decent family, I studied in this college. He will say, no, you keep all these qualifications with yourself, you just want the ticket. In the same way, it's very easy to understand that we may have many, many qualifications, but then Vishwakseena Kadasya Navutpadiya Jadratyam Shamaye Vahikevala Dharmasvanishtita Pumsam. We all are doing our prescribed duties, but are our prescribed duties awakening our Dharma Krishna consciousness? Is it helping us to attain the qualities that are necessary for, that are vital for calling out Krishna's names? So that is actually the preparation of the heart. That is why the verse Talashma Saran Vrityam Patedam Nagrifya Mane Hernamadhi Nagrifya Yetata Yadavikaru Netre Jaram Gathakaleshasha. It was from Bhagavata. That heart is still framed, which even after recitation of the holy name of the Lord does not produce tears in the eyes, standing up a hair on end, and palpitation of the heart. It does not lead to that. That heart is still framed, it is said in Bhagavata. So, one thing is to aspire to get such a heart. If one has aspirations, it's very good. If one does not have aspiration, at least one should not be thinking high about the material qualifications. Or, in other words, one should not aspire for those material qualifications, thinking that maybe if I have them, I'll become a wonderful person. No, you are not going to become wonderful. You are only going to have more obstacles by them, by having them. That should be very clearly understood. Janma, Aishwarya, Shita, Shri, they are not going to offer anything special to you. Nor are they necessary to impress the Lord. Lord is going to be least impressed with any such qualifications. As we were talking yesterday also, Lord goes straight into the heart. He goes straight to check what is your bhavana, what is your consciousness. So, if one has to call out Krishna's name, one has to study the nature of the Vrajvasis. In Vrindavan, even the cows are having that bhavana. They are able to cry tears of love for Krishna. It is said when Krishna is playing on his flute, there are tears in the eyes of the cows. And the cows are drinking the milk from Krishna's udders. And as soon as they are sucking the milk from the udders, when they hear Krishna's flute, immediately the attention goes there. And tears are coming from their eyes. And their mouth is in the udders of the cows, but they are not drinking any milk. Whole attention has gone somewhere. It's gone to Krishna completely. So, Prabhupada writes there, one should learn from these cows how to cry for Krishna, how to call out for Krishna. So, we have become impressed with Krishna, not with these material qualifications. Often, even after we come to Krishna consciousness, sometimes boys feel, when we come to IVF, they feel, oh, you can learn nice communication skills, you can learn nice management leadership skills, you can, you are offered positions and posts and services where you can develop your personality, and you can do this, you can do that. Some boys become impressed with these petty material things. Dhruma has compared them to be like broken pieces of glass. So if you are becoming impressed with them, that means we are on the wrong track. Then you may ask, if you are not impressed, if you should not be impressed, become impressed with this, why are we promoting all this? That's the reason for promoting. It's not that we are foolish to promote these things. Prabhupada so much wanted George Harrison into the movement. Now you may say, if Krishna doesn't want such Janma Shirushita Shri, then why did Prabhupada want George Harrison? Why Prabhupada approached all the presidents and prime ministers of countries and big politicians? Why did Prabhupada try to bring them? Prabhupada wrote a letter to Gandhi. He wrote a letter to practically so many kings and PMs of countries. And Prabhupada really wanted Sreshthas. He wrote letters and he personally cultivated so many of them. Why did he do that if these things are useless? Because if those people can somehow become Krishna conscious, then they can make hundreds and thousands of the masses to become Krishna conscious. So that was the only reason. Not that Prabhupada was very impressed. In many places Prabhupada openly boldly spoke. Even when Prabhupada preaches to Jar Jar Singh, you will see that. Prabhupada tells him, Prabhupada says, see, you are a great person in the society and you want to see the people happy. And we are also here, we also want to see the people happy. God has given you some qualifications. You are a great singer, you are attracting the people. Now you use it in God's service so that people can become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada is talking very frankly. Why didn't you take Krishna consciousness seriously? First visit, Prabhupada directly asked him. That way you will become successful in your life and others will become successful. As Prabhupada said, all these qualifications are like a string of zeros. Without putting one in the front, without putting Krishna in the front. So as devotees, if we can give up becoming impressed with material qualifications, then we can begin to repair our heart. Our heart preparation will begin only when we are convinced of this fact, what we are talking today. We should be convinced that Krishna is not impressed with any material qualification. Na aham vede, na tapasa, na dane, na chejaya, shakya eva vidho drishtum drishtavanasi mamyata. Krishna said, na. Naam vede, na tapasa, na dane. You cannot impress me with charity, or yajna, tapa, or Vedic learning. Krishna demands something which is very, very costly. Very. That's why even Jesus says that. If you have to attain the kingdom of God, you have to pay a very high price to get that jewel of love for God. It's the costliest of the jewels. Like among the jewels, the Kohinoor diamond is the costliest. And you have to pay the price for it. You will not get it just like that. And if you want the imitation diamonds available in the market, it's looking very similar, made of glass. But if you want the real diamond, one has to pay the price. So, this is something that we can aspire for. Wherever you see it, you should make note of it and try to achieve it from those devotees. Like if you find this kind of attitude in devotees, what we are talking, like dependent, helpless and fallen. Why the acharyas are singing such songs? That I am very fallen. You know that song, what is that? Sakale sammana korite shakati eho nataya tayata tave to gaibo harina suke aparada apihata. Here he has given the clue. What is the way to remove the aparadas? He has given the answer here clearly. Sakale sammana korite shakati. My dear spiritual master, give me the shakti or strength to respect each and every living being. How do we respect every living being? When one sees that every living being is a resting place for Krishna, when we see that, then one cannot disrespect any living being. And when we respect the living beings, then he says, then the aparadha have a hata. The aparadha will go away. Then one can chant, tabeto gaibo harinama sukhe. Means one can really attain the taste for chanting the holy name at that time, he says. So the whole sum and substance of our discussion today is summarized in this four instructions given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To be more tolerant than a tree, to be more humble than a blade of straw or grass, and to give all respects to others without any reservations or without any conditions, or at the same time not expect any respect from anyone towards oneself. So these are actually the key to success in devotional life. Here lies the real key. If you get the right key to open the door, immediately the door opens. Otherwise you try with hundreds of keys, things don't happen. In the same way, at least we can begin this work of preparing our heart by understanding the uselessness. That word, bhukta bhoga parityakta drishti dosha, he understands the fault of the faulty nature of the material world, he says. Similarly, these qualifications, one should see that they are simply a stumbling block or a burden for a progressive devotee. One should see that and one should not aspire for them or be interested in them at the beginning. At the same time, one should focus on the ingredients that lead to devotion. They should be strengthened and they should be made more powerful. That is the reason why we do seva. When we do seva, it makes us more humble. When we do, especially in menial services, when we do like book distribution, or when we wash pots, when we cut sabji, when we do such things, it makes us very humble. Preaching, some people are eager to give classes. They come and demand, Prabhuji, why don't you put my name for Sunday feast? They may want to give a big lecture. Actually, it's not a service at all. If you want to do service, preaching is not such a service in our stage. We cannot preach. Although we are trying to share something little what we know, preaching is a very high class activity. Preaching is done only by compassionate pure devotees, not by anybody. In our stage, we don't have any compassion. So, we are just getting connected to a compassion mission and we are assisting that mission of a pure devotee like Prabhupada. So, we should actually aspire for those services which will bring about those devotional ingredients. Actually, somebody is called, Prabhu, can you preach? One should fear actually. Oh, you are telling me to preach, Prabhu. You don't know my nature. I am a rascal, I become proud. Because you are telling me I will preach. Because you are ordering me. Otherwise, one should actually fear. One should not be too eager to preach. Because actually, I feel ashamed to talk these things in front of all of you today. Because I don't have any of these qualifications which I am talking now. But my spiritual masters put me in a position where I am supposed to give classes. So I feel ashamed. Because these qualifications what I was speaking today, these are the things that I have kept in my heart, in the highest pedestal. So somebody, some of you may be thinking, this fellow is speaking big things. He doesn't have even an iota of these qualities. So I am speaking them not because I possess them. I am speaking them because you and I, we need to achieve this state one day. That is our abhilasha. Aspiration. So don't become disheartened with me that this fellow speaks big things. Actually, these things are very difficult to achieve. They take time and they are really worthy for aspiring. We can aspire for that. So then our chanting will really improve. It will make a big difference. Hare Krishna chanting will improve only when you focus on these things. You can sing Vaishnava songs, understand the meaning and aspire for those qualities. When you desire those qualities, then Krishna will give. If you don't desire and if you don't beg those qualities, then how will we get them? And we have to ask Krishna for these qualities. Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. Let's offer our humble obeisances and to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees, who are portion of mercy and full of compassion. वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंतकोटिवैष्णववृंद की वैष्णव ठाकुर की।